Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners. Welcome to another winning edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman. And wow, we are going to end week eight on a big time note. Monday Night Football, Carolina Panthers, Indianapolis Colts, certainly a lot of fantasy players in this one. And so we are excited, and what a week of action it was around the NFL. We're heading towards the halfway point of the NFL season, and in most fantasy leagues, unless your league goes all the way to the end, you're probably about 5 to 6 weeks away from the playoffs starting in your league. And so definitely, you know, if you haven't already, it's certainly start to start getting your lineups in order, getting those rosters tight, and positioning yourself to get in this big dance. Once you're in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen, but getting there is the goal. Real quick, let's go ahead and name drop where everywhere you need to know, and we'll get into a great show today. The website is www.nflexporter.com. We update that website each and every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That'll get you through your entire weekend. Again, it is podcast style for your listening convenience. It is also Android friendly for your mobile devices. And so no pressure. Go ahead and sometime before kickoff on Sunday, make sure you visit the website and visit all of the great features. Usually on the front page, the home page, we have the landscape. We have the aftermath. We kind of get your prep for what's going to happen on Extra Points on Thursdays. On the fantasy football page, we've always got a lot of creative and unique storylines along with the top starts and sits for the week. The Thursday edition of Extra Points is a preview for the upcoming week. We usually have a special guest on the show, and make sure that you're fully prepared and you have what you need to know in order for your weekly matchups. The social media pages, make sure you get with us on Facebook. We are growing every day, upwards now of 2,000 owners over there. If you're a fantasy football owner, make sure you send a friend request over. That's facebook.com/NFL Exporter. You absolutely love it once you come on the page. Very interactive. Take my word for it. Come and check it out. And then over on Twitter, make sure you follow us, and that's at NFL Exporter as well. The spelling for all the above is NFLEXPORTER. The call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. That's right. We take live callers during the show. Need advice. I just want to talk fantasy football. Anything you need to know, want some trade evaluations or advice, make sure to give me a call. I'll be with you leading right up until kickoff of tonight's game. Also, you can post your questions on the social media pages. We certainly take a quick dance through Facebook and Twitter to answer some questions on there as well. Now that we have all of that out of the way, let's go ahead and hop into tonight's show. We are reviewing week eight from around the NFL. Your top 10 fantasy players from yesterday, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, put on a clinic to the tune of tying an NFL record with 7 TD passes, 511 yards. This is the second time in 3 weeks. It was Phillip Rivers a couple weeks ago going off over 500 yards with the 7 touchdowns. Was absolutely flawless. And, boy, Drew Brees, those 46 standard points certainly have to rank up there with the highest point total so far this season. I can almost guarantee that. I can't recall anybody having a bigger day than that. Coming in at number two is the guy who battled them pretty much toe for toe. You know, kind of came down to who was going to have the football in their hands last, and that extra possession that Drew Brees got due to the Giants intercepting one of Brees' passes. So, you know, very easily could have been Eli Manning possibly with the 7th, but he had an outstanding day as well. 350 passing yards, 6 TD passes. That was good for 38 standard points. His main target yesterday, and I tell you, the guy is living up to the hype. He's living up to the billing. It wasn't a one-year wonder. Odell Beckham Jr. is legitimate. 8 big catches for 130 yards, 3 TD receptions. That was good for 31 points. And, you know, he's certainly a guy like any stud. He's going to have a rough day from time to time. But if you take a look at Odell Beckham Jr. stats this year, especially in matchups that you would expect for him to dominate, the Atlanta Falcons, the Washington Redskins, here we are with the New Orleans Saints, he definitely came out and did his thing. If you had the Manning to Odell Beckham Jr. connect yesterday, that was good for almost 70 points combined. Tom Brady, we've seen him continue his winning ways on Thursday Night Football, lighten up the Dolphins secondary. He had 30 points, standard points this week, coming in at number 4. How about Derek Carr, the Oakland Raiders, coming in at number 5, kind of showing us that, you know, he's a little recession-proof. You know, the New York Jets defense stout. Now, look, game flow certainly played a hell of a lot into this one, but the Raiders had the energy. They had the energy from the opening kickoff, and especially when Ryan Fitzpatrick went out of that game, the Raiders were able to take advantage of really some poor tackling by the New York Jets. You don't normally see that. Coverage wasn't there, and Derek Carr. I mean, we've been talking about Derek Carr since fantasy football training camp, giving you excellent late round value, giving you excellent value off the waiver wire. And that's big right there, because I think if you look at his schedule, maybe outside of the Denver Broncos, especially if they're playing at home, Derek Carr all of a sudden has turned into a must start. He's got some nice weapons around there, and you really have to like what you see. If you consider his 333 yards, only 46 of those yards went to Amari Cooper, who was held in check all day on Revis Island. So very impressed with Derek Carr. He's certainly one of my young favorite players in the NFL. Coming in next, Carson Palmer continuing to light up the airways, 374 yards, 4 TDs. He was pretty much everybody's consensus top quarterback coming into this week. When you looked at that matchup, certainly a favorite on DraftKings, and he's just having a banner year. You know, Carson Palmer really hasn't looked any better in his career. I mean, we probably have to go back to his days in Cincinnati when he had Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, God rest his soul, Chris Henry, you know, those guys before the ACL injury. And so you have to be impressed with Carson Palmer. He's got a ton of weapons out there. And, man, I tell you, this guy is really, really giving owners the ultimate comfort starting him weekly. And next you have Alex Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm going to tell you one thing about Alex Smith. He's steady as they come. You know, I got to give this guy his credit. He's somebody that I contemplated playing this past week. He's a guy I thought about bringing in off the waiver wire. And I always find some way to be skeptical or hesitant or, you know, I find a way not to bring him in. And he just continues to do what he does. 26 points yesterday, had a very nice game. The 78 rushing yards and rushing touchdown, an extra 13 points into your lineup. And I think that's what you look at. Look, if you take off those 13 points, Alex Smith only had 13 points yesterday. But my point being, he's a guy who knows how to get it done. If you need a bye week fill-in, unless it's, you know, the Broncos, or there's really only a couple defenses, you know, the Rams, the Vikings are playing solid, but there's only really about a handful of defenses that you are just saying, you know what, I'm just not going to play this guy today. And so I think Alex Smith, you know, no matter how you look at Alex Smith, he's a guy who just knows how to get it done. And especially you look at some of his matchups down the stretch. I know they play Baltimore towards the end of the year. You know, as long as Macklin, as long as Kelsey are healthy, he's going to be a guy who's going to get you 200 to 300 yards in a TD or two weekly. And those 15 to 20 standard points are exactly what you need. And again, no turnovers for Smith. You know, he's just a guy who doesn't hurt you in that way. A lot of times his numbers may be lower, but those 4 to 6 points that other quarterbacks may lose on interceptions keeps him right in the fold. Phillip Rivers, steady as they come. He's another guy that you are feeling extremely confident about starting weekly. They've pretty much just thrown a running game to the side, slash, they're unable to get it going on the ground with Melvin Gordon. And Phillip Rivers is just having a ton of fun throwing this thing all over the football field. Now, you got to watch his weapons getting a little banged up now. You know, Stevie Johnson just kind of came back from an injury, but yesterday Keenan Allen had to leave out. Malcolm Floyd, he showed up yesterday. I think that goes to show you how bad this Ravens secondary is. You know, Antonio Gates wasn't at 100%. He really didn't play that much yesterday. Surprisingly, Danny Woodhead, he didn't do too much damage. But you got a guy like Malcolm Floyd hurting you for 92 yards, two TDs. And, man, Phillip Rivers, he's just an excellent play for you at quarterback. Again, when you're looking at this list, Joe Flacco coming in at number 8. 22 big points. Another guy who just knows how to get it done. Now, obviously, with Steve Smith Sr. now out of the fold, I think you certainly start to get concerned and worried. But overall, even a couple games Smith Sr. missed, Joe Flacco just a guy who the numbers they just add up for him. And I think more than anything, with how bad the Ravens secondary is and teams' ability to score on him, kind of keeps him in passing mode, especially if Forsett's not able to get it in on the ground. So, you know, there's another one. And you look at that. You know, you look at the list of top players this week, you know, Derek Carr, Carson Palmer, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Phillip Rivers, late round value. You know, we emphasize that. We stress that, you know, at the quarterback position and fantasy football training camp, we said as much as you love Aaron Rodgers, as much as you love Andrew Luck, certainly, you know, Big Ben, my goodness, Tony Romo coming in right behind there, 3 and 4 with the weapons they had behind them, you know, proven commodity guys there, on down to your Breezes and Mannings. We said, hey, those first three rounds, you know, you concentrate and you spend your time bringing in the studs. You know, you can catch a quarterback. We just mentioned Eli Manning, another guy on this list, later rounds. There's no need to jump the gun and grab these quarterbacks in the first couple rounds anymore. The values there in late rounds, the numbers are very comparable, and it's showing up here, and it's showing up on a weekly basis. Rounding out our top 10 was Malcolm Floyd. I just mentioned him taking advantage of a poor Ravens secondary who back in week 4 we had on the NFL Exporter website when we did the segment telling you we've seen trends and patterns established. If you're looking for a defense to play against, a favorable matchup, you know, what are the worst defenses in the NFL? The Baltimore Ravens secondary and their defense in general. You know, they're tough against the run, but, you know, it's becoming more of a passing league, and they can't hold up on the back end. And it's showing time and time again. And Tavon Austin, this guy is just really doing his thing. I'm happy to see him performing well this year. Jeff Fisher, that offense finding ways to get him involved. And he's become the number one weapon for them out there next to Todd Gurley. You know, I think that trend has gotten established. You know, I don't know what Brian Quick and Kenny Britt, you know, what they're doing on the outside, but they're obviously not getting open. But Tavon Austin, 7 touchdowns this year. He's certainly making the most his opportunities and touches. All right, look, we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to check out our top 10 studs and duds at the quarterback position. It's the NFL Exporter. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football. Carolina Panthers, Indianapolis Colts, don't go anywhere. Come right back and get the extra points. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show with NFL Exporter. Once again, we are getting ready for Monday Night Football. Look, Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart, Greg Olsen, perhaps Teddy Ginn Jr. We're talking about the Panthers defense. We're talking about Andrew Luck, Frank Gore, T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, perhaps. Kobe Fleener, Adam Vinatieri. We got a lot of guys going in this one to decide things tonight. And right now we're going to hop back into the show. We're going to do our first segment. Let's just go ahead and break down what we've seen happen. Studs and duds at the quarterback position week 8. Look, we told you about Drew Brees. And I'll tell you, from what I've seen from Drew Brees right now, is a guy who's looking like the precision passer and accurate passer that we've known him to become over the past, I will really say, you know, his career since he came to the New Orleans Saints. And look, with Brees, he certainly lost a lot of weapons. That offensive line is not the same as it's been in past years. And he had become a turnover machine. And we all were concerned and worried after that shoulder injury. But he's bounced back, and he's playing good football. There's no way around it. Whatever early struggles that he had going on, maybe getting chemistry with those receivers down, you know, figuring out who were going to be his targets, you know, just kind of Drew Brees just kind of just kept chipping away at it, and was extremely accurate and dissected the Falcons defense on Thursday Night Football. And that really got it going. And really, you know, ever since he came back, you know, I mean, the game against Dallas at home, put up over 350 yards passing. The next week at Philly, although it was in a blowout loss, he still put up the numbers, but the turnover showed. But certainly, you know, you look at against Atlanta, you look at what he did last week against Indianapolis, you have to like what he did yesterday at home with 7 TD passes. I mean, if you were a fantasy owner, you didn't see that day coming. What a huge boost to your lineup. And this week with the Tennessee Titans coming in, you've got to be feeling extremely good about what Drew Brees can do for you now. And look, I think a couple additions you're looking to get into that fold as well. It was the return of Kyrie Robinson, who, by the way, is gone for the year with a broken leg. So C.J. Spiller now is going to become one of the top waiver wire pickups, especially in PPR leagues. But let's talk about Ben Watson. You know, I mean, long and gone, you know, you figured he was. Josh Hill was supposed to be the guy, you know, coming in the season who had a little bit more upside. Ben Watson was more your blocker, Hill more the receiver. I don't know what conversation that Ben Watson and Drew Brees had around weeks 3 or 4. But Drew Brees is utilizing him. I thought that game against the Atlanta Falcons was more or less an aberration, one of those games that was just a matchup. It was a matchup that Brees wanted to exploit that night. But he's become a permanent fixture, and now he's a guy that you got to look at getting into on your roster, if nothing else, but for depth. And we got a lot of bye weeks and injuries and stuff like that going on. So great job by Drew Brees. Good to see him back up to form. You just wonder, can they keep it up? And certainly if I had to put some money on it again, when he's got time, and I think that was a huge part of some of Drew Brees' struggles, like any other quarterback, you know, being under constant pressure and duress. And so, you know, I think you watch out for that with Drew Brees. You know, I don't think that line is as good as keeping him as clean as they did yesterday. The Giants flat out don't have a pass rush, and that defense is looking more like the defense from last year, towards the end of last year, where they couldn't cover anybody, and the lack of pass rush really hurt them. I think we all recall late in the season a game when Dallas went out to New York and beat him on the late touchdown drive, and Tony Romo was literally going to sleep on the football field and waking back up and throwing passes. And so it's that bad for that Giants defense. Eli Manning, he's up and down, but I think matchup based. You look at the past 2 weeks against division rivals, struggling mightily against the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, some team who do have a pass rush. You figure, you know, going to New Orleans, a defense that certainly is known to give up a lot of points, and you figure it could get into a shootout. And so Manning able to hold his own, and I think the same prospects hold true. You look at Brees, you look at Manning, with Tennessee coming in for Drew Brees, and then Eli Manning going out to Tampa Bay. I think you like both of those quarterbacks riding those hot hands into those next matchups. I think both, again, still you want to watch the other team's pass rush. Both of these teams' offensive lines aren't playing too well. But certainly if it's against a team, and look, the Saints and the Giants are not known for their pass rush. So nice job by Eli Manning. He's had some pretty huge games this year, especially if you were able to catch him on the right week. A guy that, you know, you have to take your lumps. And again, I think those were really the down games for him, were those division games. You know, week one against the Cowboys held him in check. Cowboys played him tough the second time. The Eagles played him tough. Outside of that, in the Redskins game, he did fine. So you like him moving forward. You're moving over next. And, you know, Tom Brady, you know what he's bringing to the table. Derek Carr, you know, I think the maturation of Derek Carr is something that's really great to watch. All right, I apologize about that, ladies and gentlemen. Had the little audio go out there. But no, we were speaking on Derek Carr and just saying how impressive he looks. And, man, the maturation and growth is just unbelievable. He can obviously spin it. He's got a very live arm, loves to get out there throwing that deep ball. And, man, Crabtree paying off. He's using Andre Holmes, Seth Roberts. You know, he's kind of finding his young weapons. He's getting comfortable, and he's just in a groove. And he's a guy who stands strong in the pocket, really does well against the blitz, and I think that's key. I think yesterday, 13-22, 223 yards, 3 TDs against the blitz. He's hitting his checkdowns. He's making the good decisions. He's not turning it over, and he's mobile. You know, you like a guy who can get out, scramble out, and throw accurately on the run. So I've got nothing but rave reviews about Derek Carr. And as I mentioned, unless it's the Broncos or maybe one of the handful of defenses in the NFL that are just stingy, especially at home, Derek Carr has turned into a must-start. Carson Palmer, I think he's been on the list long enough. We all get the picture here. As long as he's healthy, his weapons are healthy, he's going to continue to be a must-start weekly. Alex Smith, again, we won't rub it in too much. I think all of us, you know, if you're a fantasy owner, you've been looking at this for the last 2 years. And, you know, rarely do you play against him. Rarely does he start. But you look up every week, he's in the top 10 to 12. And, you know, every week you visit the waiver wire and you pull up and look at his stats. And you see 15 to 23 points every week. And so, again, and he's on bye this week. But an excellent bye or fill-in or quarterback, get some depth. Get him on a team. You might have to plug him in for a week. He's reliable. You know, I think that's the main thing. If anything, he's going to exceed your expectation. You know what Alex Smith is going to give you. And, again, if you take the quarterback, you take the position out of it, you can't tell me you won't take 15 to 22 points in your lineup on any given week. Phillip Rivers, we go on about him all the time. You know he needs to start weekly. Joe Flacco, who's on bye this week again, very impressive. He gets it done. Again, I think the thing you like about Flacco, look, you're going to live with a couple of turnovers, right? Especially with Steve Smith not being in there. You know, wide receivers are now, you know, third and fourth tier guys. Offensive line not doing overly well in pass protection. So you'll live with it, but because of how poor their secondary is, they're going to have to pass a lot. And the numbers are going to add up for Joe Flacco, a guy who just knows how to get it done. Moving down into the top 10 a little further, another guy that you want to look at, Jay Cutler. I love a matchup this week at San Diego. Need a bye week quarterback, need a fill in, stick Cutler in. Now, obviously, with Forte being out, you're going to have a little bit of drop off in the passing game from the running back. But as long as Alshon Jeffrey's there, who's showing his big-time talent, still got Martellus Bennett, I think Cutler, a guy, again, 15 to 22 points in the lineup. As long as you don't catch him on a week dudding out on you, he'll certainly be a nice fill-in as well. Matt Ryan, 19 points for him. And, you know, he struggled a bit. But honestly, it was the turnovers. You look at his overall numbers, he was pretty impressive. Only missed 8 out of 45 passes. 397 yards, a couple TDs. And so, you know, I think overall it's all the turnovers. But again, 19 points. You're going to take that in your lineup. Matt Ryan's going to continue to be a must start. A strong start, let's put it that way, because he seemed to kind of be struggling lately. But you're not going to find, you know, more than 10 or 11 quarterbacks that you're going to want to start on a weekly basis than Matt Ryan. I think their team overall right now just kind of has to get it together. They're going through some obvious struggles there. Rounding out the top 10, Geno Smith popped in for a week, 19 points. A lot of that garbage time, got injured. Probably won't see him back in the lineup again if he is. Quite sure none of us trust in Geno if a team has time to game plan for him. And Jameis Winston, that's the other guy I'm throwing at you. Look, right now, you look at the waiver wire, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Brian Hoyer, Jameis Winston. You know, he's a guy who, look at the numbers for yourself. You know, 15, 17, 19, 21, 17. You know, he's a guy showing now that, you know, the ability. He's got about 3 to 4 rushing TDs this year. It's getting more comfortable every game. And again, if the defense is just not, you know, a top 5 defense, you know, don't be afraid to play him for a week or two. You know, if you need be, again, you should have a starter ahead of him. But your starter runs into a tough matchup, a.k.a. the Denver Broncos. You know, it's a bye week. Your quarterback gets injured. Look at the matchup. Don't be afraid to play Jameis Winston again. Another guy who, look, we're moving over to our duds and our underachievers now. It can happen to anybody on any given week. Let's start. Your duds, Aaron Rodgers, 6 points. Look, they're playing the Denver Broncos. I don't get that performance to pass, only 77 receiving yards. But I will say this. If nobody's open, then obviously there's nobody to throw the football to. And we alluded to that coming into this matchup that James Jones was going to be irrelevant. He's not a speed guy. Whoever was going to be on him, Harris or Talib, they were going to be in his hip pocket all night. Cobb was the other guy, really the fastest guy on the field, and I think Denver understood that. Devonta Adams, he's not fast. You know, those guys are possession receivers, him and Jones. They're not running away from anybody. And so with those two guys locked down, they were able to pay Randall Cobb a lot of attention, and well, that was it. It's Nobody open. Power move on our part over here. We advise owners to play Brian Hoyer this week instead of Aaron Rodgers. We also told owners, look, those options we threw at you, we said that we told owners this week. Excuse me. We told owners this week, sit Aaron Rodgers, okay? Or if you have a better option, and some of those options, again, were Jay Cutler, 19, Joe Flacco, 22, Alex Smith, 26, and Brian Hoyer, he fell somewhere in between. And so Aaron Rodgers, obviously, is going to rebound back, but, boy, he got dominated last night. Ryan Tannehill, the guys over on the Facebook page, know I got on them last week about this. Again, inconsistent. If you listen to Extra Points last week before that Thursday night football game, you heard me say about Ryan Tannehill, inconsistent. And so he threw up a dud, 8 points. Matthew Stafford, I think we all know it's over for the Detroit Lions team. Boy, it's going to be a long 2 weeks for them before they get back on the football field. That team's losing morale. They can't block anybody. So, you know, as far as playing Matthew Stafford's concerned, evaluate the matchups. Hard to sit them because, again, in fantasy football, you know, 230 yards, a couple TDs, you know, that's all you need if you got a tight lineup. But, boy, really struggling. 8 points, unacceptable. Ben Roethlisberger, we told you to take a wait-and-see approach. You don't ever want to put a player back in. You know, come back off an injury, that's tough, right? You know, Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, you know, it wasn't so much about Cincinnati, it was a sound defense. But I think that, you know, anytime you got a player coming back off an injury, Dez Bryant, we'll get to wide receivers, but we told you, take the wait-and-see approach, right? See what they got the offer for, see how they're looking, and then take it from there. He obviously didn't play well. He knew it. He admitted it after the game. 8 points for him. Moving on, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. Go to the Facebook page if you like to, people. Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Matchups I don't like. Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning. They made that list. And Peyton Manning, as much as we love the 340 yards, not a single TD, but he found an interception. And you could tell it bothered him at the end of the game. Not the way he wanted to end the night. He'll take 0-0, but that one interception, it bothered him. And Russell Wilson, look, let's be honest here, right? Dallas Cowboys defense is playing some ball this year. They are certainly not the problem. And you look at the Seattle Seahawks, unable to run a football effectively. And, again, not really big-name guys, you know, at receiver. You know, Kurse, Baldwin, best they got the offer. You know, it was good to see Jimmy Graham a little more involved yesterday. But, you know, they're going to struggle, you know. And Russell Wilson, you know, I didn't like the matchup. You know, again, Dallas' defense, especially bringing the pass rush, Hardy's playing hard. This wasn't an easy out, and they barely squeaked by. If it wasn't for 32 rushing yards, Russell Wilson sitting on 10 points yesterday. 13, again, you'll take it, but nah, that's a little too low. You want more from that. A quarterback, at least looking for a dove, right? You need them 20 points. Give me that, right? 250, two TDs, that's what you need. So that'll round up the quarterbacks there. And I tell you, looking at these guys, again, briefly, you know, certainly Drew Brees, Eli Manning, their matchups this week you love. Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, must-starts weekly. Derek Carr, unless, again, a bad matchup, he's a guy you want in there weekly. Rivers, you want in there weekly. Flacco, check the matchup, but he'll produce. You know, some of this stuff is sheer volume. Cuddy, you know, bye week filling, excellent. Get the depth. Jameis Winston, Brian Hoyer, Alex Smith, get the depth there, you know. Matty Ice, he'll be fine. You're going to live with Manning and Russell. Hard to sit them because of the names, but you got to look at things, though, for what they're worth. We certainly expect for Dalton to bounce back. Ben, he'll have to round into form as well. Stafford and Tannehill, it's inconsistent, and we expect for A-Rod to bounce back. All right, look, let's run to another quick break. Extra Points, NFL Exporter. We'll be right back. We'll break down the studs and duds, the top 10 at the running back position. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, NFL Exporter. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football, bringing things to an end. And owners out there needing the extra points. They need them from Cam Newton. They need them from John Stewart. I'm in that boat. I need some extra points from Cam Newton tonight. I need some extra points for Kobe Fleener. A lot of owners need extra points from T.Y. Hilton, from Frank Gore, from Andrew Luck. Oh, yeah, this is a big one tonight. And I think a great way to end this week, you got a Indianapolis Colts team desperately in need of a victory. You got a Carolina Panthers team trying to stay undefeated atop out there in the NFC. Running backs, top 10, Todd Gurley. Another great performance, busted off. You hear me? He busted off a 71-yarder yesterday, right? I mean, you're watching this guy weekly, and it's just becoming expected. I mean, the game that he has 75 yards, he'll be shocked. I mean, this guy is just getting it done. And, boy, I think we're just waiting to see now who can slow him down. What set of circumstances occur that he gets slowed down? Because he is getting it done. 133 yards, a touchdown, leading all running backs in week eight. Ronnie Hillman, owners who picked him up, whether waiver wire or draft day, as in fantasy football training camp, spent a lot of time talking about getting the top handcuffs. And this one in particular, coming into the season, Hillman certainly was gaining some ground on C.J. Anderson. Let's put it that way. Right now, he's getting more to work. It's not a lot, but it's enough, and it matters. And was able to capitalize on two touchdown runs yesterday to go along with 60 yards, 18 points coming in at number two. You have to love that. Sharkhandrick West, you know, this guy now, I think, look, it's about volume. It's about volume. It's about touches. It's about targets. And any running back in the NFL who is going to get the workload, the full workload, three down back, this guy's in every down except for when he's tired, you know, the numbers are going to add up. And Kansas City's defense the last couple weeks have found some matchups that they've been able to dominate and keep Kansas City with good field position and able to control the clock and getting getting the ball back to the offense time and time again. You look at KC's defense stepping up against Landry Jones in Pittsburgh and in London, getting on Matt Stafford early. And so Sharkhandrick West now has become, you know, a serious candidate to be a number two running back. You know, I think I want to see it one more week just to solidify it. I think he's one of the best flex plays and a low-end number two now. You know, I think game flow really attributed to those two games yesterday. But at the end of the day, he's certainly a guy that you're playing surely ahead of Alfred Morris and some of these other pathetic running backs out here. And these Cleveland Brown running backs or, you know, some, a couple other running backs in the league situation is just pathetic. So Sharkhandrick West, nice job by him. Got out the gate slow, but his last 2 weeks, he's up over, you know, 100 all-purpose yards. And it's the system. It's the system. If Niles Davis was in, matter of fact, when Niles Davis was in, he was doing the same exact thing. So I guess it's just a matter of what guy you've got plugged in to that Andy Reid system, which certainly gives the running back a lion's share of touches. Deion Lewis, Mr. Shake and Bait, he's back in top 10 this week. Played well on Thursday Night Football in his return against the Miami Dolphins. Can get it done on the ground or in the air. All-purpose threat. I love this kid right now as one of your best flex options. I tell you, this year in fantasy, with the way that these ratings are shaking out so far right now, with your number one RB or wide receiver, your number two RB or wide receiver, your number three RB or wide receiver, but really those guys are your flex plays. Man, let me tell you, it's some serious flex appeal going on right now. Deion Lewis, one of the top flex plays in fantasy football this year. Moving on. You're looking at C.J. Anderson. He was able to find 100 yards on the ground. And the Denver Broncos running game really got it going. His 28-yard TD came on a great play call. Clay Matthews suffered an injury, went out the game. He ran a play right at his replacement. And sure enough, he was not where he needed to be on the football field, closing the gap. And Anderson popped right through and walked through for a 28-yarder. And so that has the bold confidence. I think if you own Anderson, that certainly is a game that you probably had him on the bench, but you've been hoping for. And I think right now you can see yesterday, Hillman 19 carries, Anderson 14 carries. You know, he's still getting his touches. He's also in there on passing downs. And I think that's why Hillman's kind of getting a little bit more of the the rushing, because Anderson is the third down back. So he kind of balanced out his potential touches through the air. But nice balance yesterday by Denver. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep it moving along. Have a pretty favorable matchup next week against the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Vereen, you know, hit or miss. He's a guy that you got to just leave in your lineup if you're going to play him. Or you really watch the matchups. Hard to predict, but I guess when you look back on that Dallas Cowboys, you know, Philadelphia Eagles game, you know, you just kind of understand, you know, maybe those teams have a little bit better understanding being a division rival. And that's about game flow. And those defensive lines got after the Giants. Eli Manning under a lot of duress. But in a shootout, Vereen utilized. And, again, you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, you put on your roster. It's about the matchups for him. That's what it is about Shane Vereen. You know, and you got to, you know, you got to have skills. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you got to have skills in order to know what players to play and what matchups. And Shane Vereen is that guy. Look, honestly, right, you got, you know, we got – six, what are we, week 14? So you got basically 5 to 6 more games before your playoffs start, right? We're finishing week 8, and most playoffs start, you know, week 13 or 14. Some are 15 and 16. So let's just say you got 6 to 7 weeks left in your fantasy season now. But Vereen might be a guy, you only play 4 games, you know, and it's about matchups. So keep your eyes on him. Hard to dictate. I had to let him go. I couldn't handle trying to guess when he was going to do what. Devontae Freeman, you happy to see him in the top 10 again? First time in a long time that he didn't get in the end zone. But nonetheless, the 21 rushes, you like that number. 88 yards, you'll take it. And his all-purpose ability at the backfield will push him up to 120-plus all-purpose yards. You'll take it. You'll absolutely take it. Mark Ingram, same situation. 88 tough yards on the ground. And I found a couple passes in the air, and there he is at 11 points. Nice game by Ingram. Ingram, very solid this year. I like Mark Ingram. The consistency has been there all year long. He's one of the best running back number twos going right now. Tywan James, let's take a picture of that. We'll probably see him in the top 10 again this year, unless teams decide to – I don't even know what type of tackling. The Jets yesterday just kind of forgot how to tackle. He broke one. He looted about 5 guys on his way to the end zone from 68 yards. Quite embarrassing. I know the Jets, boy, when they watch film this week, they are going to be embarrassed. Latavius Murray, here's another guy. You heard me speak about very high on this young man, right? I love his size, his 6'3", 228, his running style. I really like Latavius Murray, man. Excellent running back number two. You know, that's where the value is for him. And, you know, he was one of those mid-level running backs. We spend a lot of time in fantasy football training camp, you know, talking about, well, you know, who's going to be your guy? Is it going to be Latavius Murray? Is it going to be Carlos Hyde? Is it going to be Lamar Miller? Is it going to be Chris Ivory? And, man, Latavius Murray is steady, you know, against a tough Jets run D, able to churn out a 110 on 22 yards. And we're starting to see now the Raiders, very good offensive line. Haven't said that about them in a while, but they got a good offensive line. And, you know, teams got to, you know, be weary of the passing game to a certain degree. And Murray's just a strong start. I was impressed by that effort yesterday. If you got him on your team, you have to like what he's bringing to the table. D'Angelo Williams, he's a guy now who, man, he just shot up. He's going to be the top waiver wire pickup. There's no doubt about that, right? You've seen the numbers he was posting pre-Le'Veon Bell. Bell's back out. Now the workload goes back to Williams. 10 points in Bell's absence. And, you know, he's going to end up being a real jewel for somebody. You know, I tried to grab him myself. I tried to pull a little low-end deal and bring in Julius Thomas, D'Angelo Williams. Just one of Williams just in case. I never, you know, yeah, I hate to see Le'Veon Bell go down. It just breaks my heart. Guy is so talented, just such a special talent. His running style, his combination of speed and elusiveness. I mean, just a joy to watch. Pure running at that running back position, and I hate to see him go out. But, man, D'Angelo Williams, he's going to certainly help a lot of owners out. Without question in my mind, he's going to be the top pick off the waiver wire, and for obvious reasons. Adrian Peterson, 103 yards on the ground, 20 carries. You'll take it. A bit banged up, but he's over the century mark again. Steady. You know, he's got to get back in the end zone. That'll make those numbers bubble. But AP, man, he's getting the work in. Darren McFadden, he had to be impressed with that performance yesterday. Tough Seattle defense, but look, 20 totes. Man, you'll take it, right? You know, all the running back by committee, how this year started, and, you know, all the lackluster performance, these low numbers, guy, 11 carries for 8 yards, 12 carries, 22 yards. You know, right now you get yourself a running back that can get 20 carries per game consistent. No, you'll take that, right? That's what you need. This is about volume. This is about touches. McFadden, 64 tough yards on 20 carries, but he's also catching out of the backfield. You like that. And it got him over to 100 all-purpose yards against the tough Seattle D. You'll take that. So nice job by McFadden. He was a flex play, by the way. You know, that was a recommendation for him last week. You looked at that game. You look at McFadden right now, and look, you're saying, you know what? He's got the highest likelihood of any Dallas Cowboy to score on a weekly basis. You know, I mean, he's touching the ball, 20 to 30 times. If they get near the goal line, he's going to get it. He's catching out of the backfield. He's exploiting some pretty big lanes. Dallas wants to run the football to protect Castle as much as possible. And you have to like his chances. You know, flex play, that's where you want him at. Now let's get over to our underachievers, our duds. Chris Johnson certainly had a nice day. Boy, how many plays did the Arizona Cardinals run on Cleveland? If Carson Palmer had 374, you come back with Chris Johnson, he had 30 carries, 108 yards, but coughed it up twice. And that's what's got him down at 6 points. Pretty sure that hurts. You know, for some owners, that hurts. So you're certainly encouraged. You see a workload like that again, encouraged, 108 yards. So that's great. He'll protect the ball better. But those two fumbles, uncharacteristic of Chris Johnson. Justin Forsett, one of my disappointments of the week. Look, you're encouraged. 17 carries. Yes. Yes, that is what you want. You know, so you don't fret. You don't get worried or concerned. Forsett's in there weekly now. But this was a matchup that I really thought that he'd be able to exploit. I like the matchup against San Diego at home, and I can only muster up 62 yards on 17 carries. That's a disappointment, but you don't get concerned about Justin Forsett. He's going to continue to be the workhorse for Baltimore. Jeremy Hill, look, I'm not really – I think the trend is what we want to see here. Let's contrast him and Gio Bernard. Now, up to this point, Gio Bernard had pretty much been dominating – the work workload. I would say probably about 70-30. Hill was pretty much coming in on first down or a planned run play. He was coming in inside the 15, 10-yard line or goal line carries. But Gio Bernard had been the guy because he's in on passing formations. He's a change of pace back. He's the third down back. He had been getting more to work. Well, yesterday, Jeremy Hill, a solid. See, I'll take that. You know, if he's going to get 15 carries weekly, he'll start finding his groove. 15 carries, only 60 yards. But I'll tell you firsthand, tough pit run D. And also the Bengals in the red zone, they just opted to pass yesterday. I was on Twitter earlier today. I shout out to my man, James Morris. Shout out Houday Nation. And, I said, look, James, man, Hugh Jackson. I don't place the blame on Dalton. You know, you're inside the 10, 15 yard line, 20 yard line. What are you passing so much for? You got two talented running backs. Run the football. And so I like Jeremy Hill's prospects. My point in contrast, though, was that Jeremy Hill 15 carries yesterday. Giovanni Bernard only 3 touches, but Bernard was able to pick up half of the production that Hill was. I think that's why you continue to see Giovanni Bernard being a guy who's earning playing time, and rightfully so. You know, I don't think it's you really, you know, you look at how Cincinnati have been using him, you really couldn't get mad if you had Jeremy Hill. I mean, you know, Giovanni Bernard had been the better looking back. He had been making the most of his opportunities, and he's a little bit more dynamic in his pass catching ability out of the backfield. So, you know, you don't turn into a hater. But certainly yesterday, Hill was given more to workload. But again, touches in the 33 yards. So it's that type of explosiveness that makes him hard to sit out. Alfred Blue didn't get the job done. We told you that, again, wait and see. That was the approach. Wait and see. Why? I told you, even when Arian Foster had returned to the lineup, all 4 games that he was in there, he did not get more than 60 rushing yards. This offensive line seems to be having problems blocking. And it's causing problems. And Al Blue struggled to start the season off. He only had 100-yard game. And I'd just be wary. Look, you're probably going to have to play him, stick him in your flex because, again, of volume, because of touches. Keep an eye out on Chris Polk. I don't know how long, they may try to switch it up. But Blue, you have to play him, but temper expectation, flex play. He's not even a number 2 running back right now. Drake Bell, everybody who's running in Detroit continues to struggle. You got to wake up and smell the coffee at some point. Hold Amir Abdullah as long as you want. It's not happening. We got to start looking at dumping guys now. You know, and I don't think I'm a firm believer in cut dead weight. I understand potential. I guess maybe a 1 week matchup. Some of these guys, we hang on because of names or what their ability is. But, man, Golden Tate, you know, who was this? Again, yeah, Dula, these guys, you got to drop them. No production. Five points from Drake Bell. I don't need that in my lineup. Melvin Gordon, he continues to struggle. I think we're just kind of looking to see, you know, are the Chargers going to make a change at running back? Playoffs with another loss. I mean, they're a team that they hang around to the end, right? They're always somewhere around 7-6 in week 14. So, you know, they're going to keep featuring Gordon. I just don't know for how long before they may just say, you know, this Brandon Oliver, he's productive when he gets in the game, and he had a great preseason, and he played really well last year, and, you know, well, maybe we get his kid a shot. Maybe he does a little bit more for us. So that'll be intriguing. Speaking of those Chargers running backs, man, unbelievable. Danny Woodhead, only 3 points against the Ravens defense. That was very uncharacteristic. I didn't get a chance to see that game. I'd love to see how that played out. Obviously, Rivers pushing it down the field, but Woodhead's kind of a permanent fixture. He's one of your top flex plays this year, a guy who certainly 60 to 100, you know, 60-plus all-purpose yards. That's, you can kind of like pencil that in before the game starts. So very surprising there, but he's human. It happens. That's going to round out our running backs. Let's go ahead and take another quick break. Getting ready for Monday Night Football, Carolina Panthers, Indianapolis Colts. You are listening to the best fantasy football show on the planet. Get the extra points with NFL Exporter. When we come back, we are talking wide receivers. Don't go anywhere. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions, and that is exactly what we are all about over here, is champions. Don't forget the Facebook page is facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Follow me on Twitter at NFL Exporter. The website, NFLExporter.com, and you are listening to Extra Points. To call in number 626-213-5762. Let's talk top 10. Let's talk studs and duds, wide receivers. This was the week of the wide receiver. We had, we got quite a few, probably looking at about close to about 20 wide receivers in double digits this week. That's pretty impressive. Odell Beckham Jr., I just want to give him his credit. That's all I want to do. He's not a one-year wonder. Wasn't luck last year. He's that good of a football player, and he dominates his matchups, especially when they're favorable. Again, like any stud, you're going to have some tough days at the office, but this is a guy who does what I would want my top fantasy players to do, perform 75% of the time. Give me 12 out of 16 games where you're performing at a high level. Number one wide receiver value, and he's handling business. I like what Odell Beckham Jr. I got no qualms about this kid. He's playing well. He's doing what he needs to do. Malcolm Floyd, look, again, no disrespect to Malcolm Floyd. He's just a deep threat. That's his calling card. That's why if you pick him in the right week, he'll give you 70 yards in the TD. You pick him in the wrong week, you'll see him with 30 yards. Yesterday, able to take advantage. Man, I tell you, this Baltimore Ravens secondary can't check anybody. You got Floyd going for 92-2. Look, again, 70 in the TD, it's there for him. You know, I mean, Phillip Rivers airing it out, and Gates didn't play that much. Keenan Allen left out. Stevie Johnson still a little nicked up. Peep the situation. You know, that's what you got to do out there for San Diego. See what's going on. If it's a week where maybe one of the wide receivers doesn't play, it could potentially be the right matchup. He's very tricky to gauge his value, though. But I think as much as Rivers is airing it out, and again, Keenan Allen seems to be somewhat injury prone. You know, Gates should be bouncing back from that MCL pretty soon. But Malcolm Floyd, tricky play. I think worth the roster spot, though. Tavon Austin, again, he's shining, man. He's doing this thing this year for the Rams. They use him in a variety of different ways. I like that they're getting him more involved. They're making a concerted effort. Past years, it's kind of just been like maybe by the wayside. But 7 TDs, you know, he's certainly amongst the top receivers touchdown-wise. I got to go check out his ranking. Tavon Austin, nice job. Guy's picking him up off the waiver wire in his third year. He's starting to come around. He's a big-time playmaker for the Rams. Julian Edelman, steady as they come. Him like Greg Olsen. They're guys every year that, you know, somehow, some way, I pass them up. I don't pick them. I don't make it a point to pick them. I kind of let them slip away. You know, I got my eyes on somebody else. And he just continues to perform at a high level. Tom Brady's most entrusted receiver, has a complete understanding of that system, and he's a security blanket. Look, I told you before, Brady, he's looking at Gronk, he's looking at Edelman. Tom's throwing it a ton this year, and, man, Edelman, what a pickup. What a pickup, 20 big points. And he's just impressive. You have to like his prospects this week against the Washington Redskins. Julio Jones, if it wasn't for a fumble, he'd have a couple more points on his score. Nonetheless, you'll take the 163 yards and the 12 catches and the touchdown. And that spells PPR and standard value. And Julio's a beast, and he got it going early. And, again, you talk about matchups you like this week. How about the San Francisco 49ers? Opportunity should be aplenty. And, man, he's just a big-time player. Brandon Cooks, you know, he's a guy that – he's another guy I parted ways with. I don't have any qualms about it. Too hard to guess and gauge. I would say on a positive note, the last 3 weeks, I think with him all year long, he was getting enough targets to merit, you know, him being in the lineup, but it wasn't producing. But he was averaging 7-8 targets all year long. I think the last 3 to 4 weeks, though, you know, again, I think Drew Brees is kind of really settling into the offense, understanding what he has and who he wants to get the ball to and how he's going to kind of work this thing. And him and Cooks seem to have some chemistry. And I think it's pointing up for Brandon Cooks. You know, Drew Brees is going to be that accurate with the football. Again, I think matchup-based, though, that's the key. You know, this Giants secondary can't cover anybody. And so guys running freely through there, we can patch that right on down to a guy who we've seen running freely, Marcus Colston, right? And Colston, this guy, he's on a waiver wire everywhere. This guy was able to skip into the end zone. Not a giant in sight. Poor defense. But Brandon Cooks, I like that he's trending up, and he did a nice job for whoever lineup he was in yesterday, along with Willie Snead, 17 points for him as well. So you got Drew Brees with three. See, that's rare, right? Brees with three of his receivers, all with 17 points or more. So I think Cooks and Snead are the guys for sure. So I think that pattern's established now. I think when Drew Brees is dropping back the pass, right now he's looking for Snead, he's looking for Cooks, he's looking for Ben Watson, and he'll mix in Colston how he needs to. And C.J. Spiller now becomes Kyrie Robinson. So I think Drew Brees and those weapons have finally kind of settled into place in New Orleans, and you have at least some type of expectation to go off. A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, we see these guys on here quite often. We don't really need to go into detail. You know, the A.J. Green is a big-time player. Anything else I need to tell you? 11 catches, a buck 18, a touchdown. I don't think I need to tell you about what he can do. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize about that. Sorry about the audio going out for a moment. But we were just talking about how A.J. Green is a beast, which you already know, and that you have to live with a couple off weeks, the four catches, the 36 yards against the Buffalo Bills. We told you the week before, if it wasn't for a penalty, he'd have been well up over 130 yards against the Seattle Seahawks, which kind of clamped down on him after he had an 80-yard TD call back. And he's a guy who's going to dominate his matchups. I love A.J. Green. Man, solid number one receiver. We told you about DeAndre Hopkins, another guy, just solid, and he's going to get the targets. Go to the Facebook page. Go check us out on Twitter. We love this matchup this week, and he handled his business, 96 yards of TD. You'll take it all day. You are talking about Alshon Jeffrey. Love what he's doing since he's came back. He's 100% healthy, number one wide receiver value. 11 catches, a buck 16 a TD. There's your PPR value as well. And, you know, for Jeffrey, it was just a matter about getting on the football field. But the main guy, he's getting the targets. He's going to produce. I like Alshon Jeffrey. You know, I like where you were able to pick him up in drafts. And, yeah, it was a struggle, and it was tough that you had to go without him while he fought through his injuries. But it appears he's back healthy. And I love Alshon Jeffrey, where you were able to land him in drafts and give you those number one wide receiver numbers that you need in your lineup. Michael Crabtree, right? Man, I tell you, you know, Crabtree reborn. And look, like Eric Decker, huh? I like making that comparison. See, you know, Decker, when he came over to the Jets last year, he's not a number one, right? He's not a guy who's going to dominate on the outside and be able to beat every team's top defensive back weekly. right? Michael Crabtree, same thing in San Francisco. He doesn't have a skill set to be a number one, but you bring Brandon Marshall over into the equation for the Jets. Now Decker at the number two, let him excel. Let him do what he does. He played opposite Demaryius in Denver. See how that works? Same thing for here for Crabtree. He can come over and play opposite Amari. Amari's drawing that top cover guy. And now let Crabtree be the possession guy and let him blend in. He's doing a great job, and he's trending up. And he's giving owners the value that they're looking for. He's a solid play. You know, right now, I'm telling you, when we flip this NFL Exporter website, the content, the information we're going to provide for you guys this week through our social media and through the website, it's sick. It's ridiculous. And we're taking a look at, you know, number one, number two. You got to get your, you got to balance your lineup out right now. And a Michael Crabtree is certainly a guy that, based on matchup, sticking that number two wide receiver low end or put him in the flex and feel comfortable about what he can do for your team. Demaryius Thomas, 168 yards. All he was missing was a touchdown to blow his numbers out of the water. But you'll take those 168 yards. I think you see him going back in the right direction. He's a guy who we heard in the bye week. He understood that he was dropping some football, and he wasn't really particularly happy with his production. And he got out the gates fast last night. And good to see him back with that bounce in his step. Michael Floyd, one of our top waiver wire pickups the last couple weeks, a guy who we said we liked this matchup. We said we noticed about Michael Floyd. And we asked about Michael Floyd a couple weeks ago. We said, well, where is he? What did he do to fall out of favor in Arizona? You know, we understand that Larry's the dominant number one, but my God, where's Michael Floyd? Then then it came out, oh yeah, he had the hand injury and it hindered him and it slowed him down. And now you're seeing the last 3 weeks, you're seeing Michael Floyd trending up. Touchdown against the Detroit Lions, touchdown at Pittsburgh, you know, touchdown last week against the Ravens, touchdown now against the Browns. Now he's coming into his own. So he's working opposite Larry. Now Carson's finding him. So y'all think you're looking at him right now being neck and neck with John Brown, who's trying to fight through a hamstring injury, and especially if his Brown is out, Floyd might get the double-digit targets that day. Get him on your lineup. Oh, how do we do? Again, top plays we did this week. We sat out Aaron Rodgers. We stuck Hoyer in. Guess what? Michael Floyd, yeah, he was in our lineup this week. 106 yards in the TD. Yes, sir. Stephon Diggs. And for fantasy owners who've been able to acquire him, myself included, and then playing, man, we've been reaping some big-time benefits over the last 2 to 3 weeks. This kid is impressive. And broke a big one yesterday at a key point in the game. And, man, you, again, value, and it's about targets. Take a look at his numbers, 12 targets. You see that? That's what a number one wide receiver is going to get. And when they're getting that many targets, it's just a matter of time, and the numbers are going to add up. And now you're seeing this kid with every game get more confidence, get more swag, get more bounce, get more aggressive. And he was pumped up yesterday when he scored that game winner, and rightfully so, shook away from a defender and took it on into the house. And this kid is impressive. And I love Stephon Diggs. He is doing his thing. He's got his name now in a rookie of the year conversation with Amari Cooper and one Mr. Todd Gurley. Nate Washington, top waiver wire pickup. That's where we had him last week. Shout out James Morris yet again. And we told you, especially, look, right now, trends and patterns, they've been developed, they've been established. The Houston Texans can't run the football too well. They'll probably have a good running football game once every 3 to 4 weeks. Because that is the case, they're going to have to pass the football a lot. And Brian Hoyer, when he's looking out on the football field, he's looking for DeAndre Hopkins. And if he looks away from Hopkins, it was Arian Foster out of the backfield. Neither Blue or Polk are backfield out of the backfield receivers. So now, especially when Cecil Shorts is out of the lineup, which he is often due to his numerous injuries that he carries every year, the other guy is Nate Washington. And Washington popped through yesterday with 13 big points. And again, for a bye week, for a fill-in, for a flex play, those are the points, the extra points you need to get your lineup where you need it to be. A couple other guys we're throwing at you here, productive. Larry Fitzgerald, 86 TDs, a touchdown. We ain't got to tell you about Larry. Number one wide receiver, Carson Palmer, going to make sure he. I'll move it over to Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, respectively, 12 and 10 points. Man, the only two guys they throwing that football to in the New York Jets. You're getting the production out of them. Marshall 1, Decker 2. Stick him in your lineup. Now let's move over to the underachievers, our duds. And Calvin Johnson, 8 points. You'll live with it because he certainly could do worse. But, man, I tell you, it's pretty depressing what's going on out there in Detroit. Emmanuel Sanders, what happened to him yesterday? You would think the teams would double Demaryius more than him. Only 2 points for Emmanuel Sanders. Huge disappointment. I ended up losing one of my matchups yesterday by 12. And, you know, it's a league where, you know, you get points for receptions and, you know, other little trinkets. And, boy, to lose by 12 and have Sanders only come away with 22 yards, that hurts. Kendall Wright, we're only mentioning him because we told you he's another guy. You got to catch him on the right week. He is the only – he is the number one receiver in Tennessee, but they struggle. Marvin Jones for the Cincinnati Bengals. We told you, they could deploy too many weapons in Cincinnati, right? Outside of AJ in that passing game, you don't know if it's going to be Eifert or Marvin. Yeah, you got to play the cards. See how they fall. Jones, a guy definitely worth a roster spot. Just got to catch him on the right week. James Jones, Randall Cobb combined for 3 points, all 3 points by Cobb. Go back and listen to Extra Points. What do we talk about, right? These are Denver Broncos secondary. They put a blanket on your receiver, and we couldn't find James Jones yesterday. Again, he's not fast, so he's eliminated out of the equation. Should have had him on your bench. Amari Cooper, his first trip to Revis Island didn't work out too well. Couldn't find him often, and it was on 9 targets. So let's give Revis his credit. Held him to 46 yards on 5 catches on 9 targets. It's called being locked up, but, hey, you'll take it. Look, Cooper, only 2 times he's been locked up this year has been against Tlaib and Revis. I would say that's you know, you're going to get locked up by somebody. That's who you want to get locked up by. Martavius Bryant, interesting. 4 points. You thought you'd see a lot more from him. Bengals defense just played spectacular, holding Ben Roethlisberger in check the second half. Mike Evans, man, I think it's going to be tricky with Evans because they don't have anybody. They lost Lewis Murphy for the year. Vincent Jackson missed the game with a knee injury. Safarian Jenkins is always injured. And, sure, you know, we love targets, but, you know, on some times or in some situations, when Evans really, who's the only guy they really had out there yesterday, made it real easy for Atlanta to kind of double-team him. They just got through watching film of him go off for $1.64 the last week. So understandable, but you got to play him because he's really the only guy they got, and he's going to get the targets. Golden Tate, drop him. Yeah, I don't know why are we going to be holding on to him for any longer. He just ain't cutting it. So keep dead weight on your team. Obviously, look, let's be real, right? You keep him because if Calvin goes down, then he becomes the number one receiver. But he's not motivated. He doesn't care. You can see it. This Detroit Lions team is just not there. And Tate, you know, I mean, you know, look, if it, you know, 5 catches, 55 yards, maybe PPR, maybe in the league you're in that count. That type of lack of production, I don't go for it. All right, quick break. Let's get back and start wrapping this show up. Tight ends, defense, special team, kicker. And, again, we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Panthers, Colts, should be a good one. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. More Extra Points. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Extra Points. NFL Exporter, let's go ahead and put a wrap on this one, right? Another great show. You know, every Monday, right, we review. Right, we're here Thursday. We get your fantasy football week started every Thursday with the Thursday edition of Extra Points, where we preview the upcoming week's games. We talk our top 10 start sits. We have special guests in to make sure you're getting the most broad perspective of you know, what you want to do with your matchups. Then we come back and you join us on Monday, and we wrap up the week, right? We review everything. We take a look at how things planned out. And then as you go through your week, you come and visit NFLExporter.com on Wednesday with new content and updates and information. This podcast friendly for your listening convenience and is Android friendly for your mobile devices. And when that website is updated, we get your prep, right? We kind of get your beak wet for what's to come on Extra Points. Any information carries you through up until kickoff on Sunday. How can you beat that, right? How can you beat that? All right, let's put a wrap on another great show. Tight ends, your top tight ends for week 8. Ben Watson, 20 points. Impress, get him on your team. Drew Brees is finding him. He likes a tight end. We thought it'd be Josh Hill. Again, I don't know what's got into Ben Watson. But this guy is reborn, and, man, he's getting it done. Rob Gronkowski, needless to say. Another big game, $111. Look, again, we talked about Gronk the other day, right? If people, you ever want to question why Rob Gronkowski merits a top 10 pick, it's because he's a tight end, and right now he's fifth in the NFL in receiving yards. That's why. Jacob Tammy, you know, it'd be nice to see him be consistent in Atlanta, right? I think it's matchup-based. Matty Ice had to throw it 45 times yesterday, so I think that's a huge reason. You take 10, you know, you get Matty Ice around 32 passes, and Tammy probably not so. But, you know, those 110 yards, that TD by Tammy, a direct result of 45 pass attempts by Matty Ice, and Atlanta really had to get into passing mode once they got down by 10 points. So, tricky. Put him on your team. If you get it, you look, I'm a guy, when I bring guys in off the waiver wire, unless there's air for caution, put them in, right? Why waste time? Let's see what they got. So if you get Tammy, stick them in there, you know, don't be afraid. Next, Troy Aikless, and again, this is a product of Carson Palmer, who, like Drew Brees, who likes Phillip Rivers, they pass to your grandmother if they're out, running around. These guys will pass to any. Who is Troy Nicholas? We don't know. I've never even heard of this guy before. But obviously, Carson Palmer knows how to find him for 13 points. So take a picture, right? Tywan Jones at running back, Troy Nicholas at tight end. We probably won't see these guys back up here anytime soon. Gary Barnes, this is my man right here, Mr. Barnes, right? Mr. Recession Proof. We looked at Gary Barnes. We said, you know what? This Josh McCown show is going to slow down when you're talking about three straight games against Denver, against Arizona, against the Rams, right? Those tough defenses right there. McCown's going to get shut down. Sit Gary Barnes out. Listen, Gary Barnes is recession proof. Gary Barnes gave you 16 points against the Broncos. Gary Barnes gave you 6 for 108 last week against the Rams. And Gary Barnes gave you 11 points yesterday, 53 yards and a touchdown against the Cardinals. Those are the best defenses, some of the best defenses going in the NFL. You put Gary Barnes in your lineup and you leave him. What a start this guy is. What a find. That's definitely going to be in the conversation of the top waiver wire pickups this year. This guy's amazing. He's Miller, huh? Big Ben getting back into the fold. I think now with Le'Veon out, and they'll switch back to D'Angelo, but he's a lot of underneath stuff yesterday. Good for 10 points. Not a lot of people had him in their lineup. For those who did, nice game for him, especially in PPR value matches where he got 10 catches for those 105 yards. Travis Kelce continues to be strong. He's in our consensus top five weekly, 46 yards in the TD. You love what he brings to the table. Luke Wilson came up just short of a touchdown. Call didn't get overturned, so the points stick, 10 points for him. And then rounding out Jared Cook, 7 points. Jimmy Graham, 7 points. And Jimmy Graham was involved yesterday. You'll take the 8 catches for 75 yards. Means more in PPR. But at least you did see him being utilized on an offense that's just struggling. I think you got to kind of attach that to some of Graham's lack of production as well. That offense is just not playing well. Taking a look at some wide receivers who there was some expectation and didn't do anything for you this week. Martellus Bennett, surprising. Minnesota Vikings defense, though, is playing very well. I got to speak Mike Zimmer's name as much as possible. What he's been able to come over there and do with that defense is unbelievable. And I'm still shocked that Bennett didn't have a little bit more work than 30 yards or 33 points. But I'll respect Minnesota's defense. Obviously, they were doing something with those coverages there. Jordan Cameron, we told you he really shouldn't even be in your lineup. He is playing with Miami. Tannehill likes to throw it around. Whatever. I don't even know why I mentioned him. Sorry about that. Tyler Eifert. Man, me and James Morris from the Cincinnati Bengals, we talked about that, right? We thought this was a great matchup that Tyler Eifert would be able to exploit Pittsburgh's linebackers who are a little bit more run stoppers than dropping back in pass coverage. Didn't happen. Only 3 points. Kind of shocking there. Kyle Rudolph, I'm only throwing him out there because he's just a huge disappointment. I mean, Bridgewater found him early and often in the preseason, but however this thing is working out, he's doing absolutely nothing. Eric Ebron attached to a bad situation. See, you got to start looking at some players. Bad situations, get them off your team. If you got a player who's attached to a bad situation, it's going to hurt his production. And like I said, you check that schedule next time before you play Calvin and his Detroit line. His offense, I mean, and that offensive line, they're a team that they're struggling. And you got to check the matchup before you put these guys in. Jason Witten, you know, as we told everybody, it's Matt Castle. The only thing he can do is run faster than Brandon Wheaton. Kind of the same player. No production, nothing. Moving over to your top defense special teams. Houston Texans dominated like you would think against Zach Mettenberg and the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, New England Patriots, this is the most confidence I've had in their defense in years. You know, they've had defenses. They've always been a defense who does enough just to kind of get by and dominate on, you know, against, you know, the likes of the Titans and the Browns and, you know, who else, some of these sorry teams. I don't know, you know, the Redskins and stuff like that. But honestly, this year, they've got a good defense. I can say that they've been steady all year, and you can feel confident playing them. The Chiefs, again, being able to take advantage of some nice matchups the last couple weeks, 15 points, just really got after Matt Stafford and company early. St. Louis Rams, man, just as steady as they come. They've only had one game this year where they've been in single digits. They are double-digiting every week, and being able to have some extra rest with the way that Todd Gurley's controlling things on the ground. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, tough. Steelers defense playing much better this year than ever anticipated. Cincinnati's defense got Roethlisberger for 3 interceptions. Denver Broncos continue to be steady, 11 points against Aaron Rodgers and company. You love that. Dallas Cowboys, they're steady. They're steady. I'm telling you, man, the Cowboys defense is not a slouch at all, by no means. I mean, man, you really hate to see Dez and Romo and those guys out because they would really help. But Dallas' defense is sound. They are not being ran over. That's 7 solid points. Look, Dallas' defense had more points than Seattle's defense yesterday. Minnesota was 7. It's solid. We've told you about them time and time again, especially when you consider Cordell Patterson, Sherrills. You know, they're punt returning kicker. They got some good guys there as well. So I like Minnesota's defense as steady as they come. In Arizona, certainly the expectation was higher for Arizona playing against Cleveland. But, you know, Josh McCown and company, they found their way. They've kind of got past their 3 toughest games. And I think it should lighten up a little for them. It'll be real interesting to see how they play against Cincy this week. Your disappointments. Man, what's going on with the Jets? That was just a poor performance yesterday. -6. Jeez. Hope nobody had that in their lineup. Green Bay Packers, -5. Yeah, they didn't show up against Denver. That was pretty bad. Both of those defenses should rebound. Especially the Jets this week at home against Jacksonville. Again, when they watch that film this week, they're going to have to be beside them. They'll probably be running suicides all week long. That was just horrible. Seahawks again, 6 points against Matt Castle. What's up? You know, so not the big numbers you'd anticipate. Last, moving over to our kickers, some familiar faces here to start off. Justin Tucker, 20 points. This guy, man, he's an all-star. Justin Tucker, again, another, you know, he gives you maximum quality and comfort. You know with Justin Tucker, he's money. You know, he's money. Dan Bailey, finally getting a chance to get some field goal opportunities, cashing yesterday for 14 points. Blair Walsh seems like he's kind of, you know, come out of the little funk he's in. He's been consistent lately, game winner, giving him 13 points. Sebastian Janikowski, I like that now, right? Starting to thrive. This Oakland Raiders offense starting to get it rolling. He's starting to thrive. He's cashing in for 12. Mike Nugent, now for Cincy, he's always going to be a prospect, even though they've been scoring touchdowns at a much higher clip. Mr. Gostkowski, he lives in the top 5 for the New England Patriots. Talk him up before the week starts, right? The way they're playing, they're in field goal range every single time, 12 points for him. Kai Forbath, 12 points for the New Orleans Saints. Connor Barth, 11 for the Bucks. McManus, he's steady, 11 for Denver. You like him a lot. Carter Zano, right, for Arizona. You like him. Josh Lambeau. I tell you, I like these kickers right now. Look, Justin Tucker, I love him. Janikowski trending up with that Oakland offense. Gostkowski, I just love him on GP. You know, he just puts in the work weekly. And then I like McManus, Cardozano, Lambeau. You know, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the San Diego Chargers offense, they stay in field goal range. I like the double digits that I see there. A couple of disappointments, certainly Matt Prater. I mean, I know he hasn't been there all year, but, you know, again, attached to a bad situation. Detroit Lions can only find 10 points in London, so he struggles with 4. Mason Crosby, look, I can understand Green Bay not scoring on Denver, but you certainly thought double digits were in the cards. You figured if nothing else, Crosby have an opportunity, some nice 40 or 50-yard, you know, attempts. So you certainly, I mean, 3, hey, look, you know, 3 40 yards is 12 points. You know, do the math. So, you know, that's a bit of a disappointment. And Steven Hauschka, a big-time disappointment. Same thing, right? Doesn't take much. 3 40-yard field goals, that's 12 points. You know, only 6 for him. He had 1 blocked. So that's a disappointment. Or he would have been up around his usual 10-plus points. And then Chris Boswell, kicker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Opportunities weren't there. You figure if nothing else, Pittsburgh's going to stay in field goal range. And, man, I just think losing Le'Veon Bell really took the life out of him. And, they just couldn't find their way in the second half. And, you know, Ben didn't play well. And and they just struggle. But Boswell should fare better as Ben Roethlisberger continues to get better. All right, that is going to wrap up our show for today. Again, look real quick, NFLExporter.com, NFLExporter.com. Visit the website now. Take a look at what's been going on the last month. Go there every Wednesday, anytime after 7 p.m., updated with new news, information, and content, mobile-friendly, Android-friendly, podcast style for your listening enjoyment and convenience. Make sure you join us on Extra Points this upcoming Thursday when we preview the week 9 schedule. We'll have a special guest on the show. We'll talk our top starts and sits. And then join us, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. If you're a fantasy owner, get on that page like ASAP. You'll love the information provided there. Follow us on Twitter at NFL Exporter. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. It is time for Carolina. It is time for the Indianapolis Colts. As always, I thank you for listening to the show. And I'll be looking forward to talking to everybody on the Facebook page, on Twitter. And make sure you tune in 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this upcoming Thursday, the week 9 edition of Extra Points. NFLExporter.com. We are out of here. You know how it goes. 1100.